Welcome to the Swiss Info Podcast, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
This is the podcast for the week ending November 16th. I'm Dale Bechtel. The Swiss government has revealed details of its financial plan to support EU countries in Eastern Europe. The new deal has been warmly welcomed by these nations.
A cooperation between people, exchange of experience, exchange of ideas, and making mutual progress.
But before we get to that, here are a few of the other top stories of the week. The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe gave Switzerland good marks for the integration of its Muslim population. Turkish diplomat Umur Orhun announced his findings at a news conference in Bern.
The way I see it, the Muslim community in Switzerland, as compared to other European countries, is relatively better integrated with better educational background and better financial means at their disposal.
But Orhun said the mainstream Swiss population has a growing apprehension of Muslims, which leads to a sense of fear in the Muslim community of being alienated and rejected. A sex scandal rocked the Swiss Elite Football League. 12 current or former players of FC Thun were detained on suspicion of having sex with a 15-year-old girl. The age of consent in Switzerland is 16. The sport was put in a much better light when European football's governing body, UEFA, announced it would donate 6,600 francs to the Swiss-run International Committee of the Red Cross for every goal scored at next year's European Championship, which is co-hosted by Switzerland. The proceeds will go to landmine victims in Afghanistan. But UEFA's William Gaillard explained the ultimate goal of the partnership to Swiss Info.
The main aim is to get people involved. And of course, to buy artificial limbs for the victims of anti-personnel mines in Afghanistan. But to have an interactive relationship with the public of the Euro is just as important, because that's to make them aware that there are these problems in so many countries in the world.
Now to our top story. Switzerland's financial contribution to the development of the new European Union members was the subject of a conference held in Lucerne this week, which brought together representatives of Swiss and the so-called EU10 governments. Julia Slater has more.
Over the next 10 years, Switzerland is due to disburse 1 billion francs to the 10 countries which joined the European Union in 2004. The money is going to carefully chosen projects with a special focus on the countries of the so-called Visegrad Group, Poland, the Czech Republic, Slovakia and Hungary. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg approves.
Switzerland is going in the right direction, and they have a very good idea to specialise, take one territory and they make profound research and really concentrate it on the most reasonable project.
The projects are not necessarily dramatic, but they're no less important for that, as Jörg Reding of Switzerland's State Secretariat for Economic Affairs pointed out.
There are a lot of projects which are specifically down to earth for the people. The health sector, that's something each one can identify. But then there are other sectors. We are in the waste sector, which is important for us. This is not very exciting, but it's something everybody knows they need it.
Switzerland is not itself a member of the European Union, but it has an economic interest in the prosperity of the new EU members. The government's convinced that this will contribute to the stability of the continent and open up new markets for Swiss businesses. Several speakers noted the importance of the fact that the Swiss people as a whole had approved the allocation of the funds in a referendum. Lithuanian Finance Minister Rimantas Šadžius was impressed that the Swiss had voted to give rather than to get. Lithuania is grateful for the specific help Switzerland has provided towards mother and baby healthcare. But for Šadžius, there's something else special about the cooperation.
This Swiss contribution is not money, but it is a humanitarian dimension. A cooperation between people, exchange of experience, exchange of ideas, exchange of views, and making mutual progress.
The mood at the conference was definitely upbeat. Swiss government ministers said they were looking forward to entering a new stage of partnership in which everyone would be a winner.
Julia Slater reporting. In business news, the latest statistics show that highly skilled managers recruited abroad are paid more than top Swiss managers. But the study also found that unqualified foreigners earn less than Swiss doing similar jobs. Top foreign managers make on average nearly 11,000 francs a month, 600 francs more than their Swiss counterparts. Immigrants in menial jobs take home around 350 francs a month less than Swiss carrying out similar tasks. Many of the highest wage earners in Switzerland and abroad followed the jewelry and watch auction in Geneva. The largest top-quality, brilliant-cut white diamond ever to go under the hammer sold for more than 18 million francs to Guess clothing company founder Georges Marciano. There were also plenty of stories this past week which didn't make the headlines. The fact that Switzerland has no fewer than four national languages doesn't mean that the Swiss have an inborn talent for language learning. Languages are school subjects like any other, and sometimes hard to learn. But a new scheme uses mobile phones to make the task easier and more fun. Children from different language areas can now talk to each other without leaving the classroom. The scheme links schools and gives them a week-long free use of 10 mobiles. The cost is borne by the Swisscom phone company. A 70-year-old German man who has spent all of his life in Switzerland ran into problems with his own language when he finally decided to apply for Swiss citizenship. In the town where he lives, all foreigners wanting a Swiss passport have to take German courses, he was told. The fact that German is his native tongue was neither here nor there. And finally, a Swiss-German man who made an English name for himself has died at the age of 90. Cool man Peter Steiner, looking like everyone's idea of Heidi's grandfather, became hugely popular advertising chocolate. He even built on his success in the 1990s when he stormed the charts in German-speaking Switzerland with his very un-Germanic titled song, It's Cool Man.
Since he was 9 years old, John Harlan has feared the Eiger, the mountain that took his father's life. 40 years later, he's about to confront the mountain that haunts his dreams.
That's a clip from the IMAX film, The Alps. It's been drawing huge crowds around the world and has won several awards. The star is John Harlan III. I met John during a recent visit he paid to Bern and asked him how he planned to capitalize on the film's success.
I guess my entire career has been basically in recreation journalism, specifically climbing and backpacking and wilderness travel. And for many years I've wanted to change my focus, so I keep the recreation for fun more, and I'm starting to explore sustainable development issues and how to keep the mountains wild and how to allow people to develop their social and economic standards while still living in the mountain countryside without damaging the environment. So I'd really like to spend the rest of my career helping in that field somehow.
Concretely, what kind of projects do you foresee that you could carry out or lead?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to explore what's being done, and that's the big first step, find out what people around the world are doing in sustainable development. And I might start especially by focusing on what the Swiss people have been doing in their own mountains and then how they apply that to other mountains, to development projects. And I'd like to write about it, write books about this, with the main goal being to try to help other people to learn what's happening. I think that very often projects are developed in a certain place and they're done there, and people in other mountains in the world don't know what's been done there. And so I'd like to help that communication process.
So how could Switzerland play a role model in that case for a community in the Himalayas or a mountain community in South America?
Early example would be sharing the alpine pastures for cows. And in Grindelwald, they worked out a communal model for how to get the most out of the pastures without degrading them and allowing different families to be able to share by the way they cycled through with their cows. So there are a lot of overgrazed parts of the world, and maybe they could learn from the Swiss in that way. Clearly, hydropower, Switzerland has lots of hydropower, and it's a very technologically oriented country. From what I understand, there are more Nobel Prizes per citizen in Switzerland than any other country in the world, and most of those are in science. So what I want to do is explore more how the Swiss have learned and how they're sharing what they've learned, and maybe I can help a little bit with that sharing process.
So using your name now, made better known through the film The Alps, as a vehicle to deliver it to the communities around the world.
Yes, because of the Alps film, I've been in circulation, shall we say. I've been to a lot of cities. A lot of people have seen it. They know of my interest in mountains. And so I'd like to lend whatever help that can provide. And it's provided some connections and in many places, from science museums and education programs and corporations and governments even. So I'd like to take advantage of that and try to apply it in a way that I can help people.
John Harlan III. He's also written a book about the Eiger story called The Eiger Obsession, Facing the Mountain That Killed My Father. It's published by Simon & Schuster. More details on John Harlan and some of the other stories you've just heard can be found on our website, www.swissinfo.ch. And that's also where you can give us your opinion on our audio service. Thanks for listening to the Swiss Info podcast. I'm Dale Bechtel.